see together tonight. Church tonight. Amen. Well, as you notice, I'm not one of our regular song leaders, but Brother Furman got tied up at work and is going to be running pretty late, and Brother Layton couldn't make it this evening due to some family obligations, so felt like we needed Brother Hoover, so we're just going to roll the spare tire along, as Brother Brandon would say tonight. So you pray for me. Amen. This is number 8 in your hymn book. I think we all know it. How many wants to see him? Amen. Oh, as I journey through the land, singing as I go, just pointing souls to Calvary, to that crimson flow. Well, many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on. Oh, through him I must win. Well, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. Oh, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And when in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, he's leading in the fight. Oh, with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, oh, he's guiding me. I can see as I onward go, and oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. Oh, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And when in valleys low I look toward that mountain high, and behold my Savior there, he's leading in my fight. Oh, with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, oh, he's guiding me. I can see as I onward go. Let's stand and sing it. Oh, I want to see him, look up on his face. Oh, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. And when before me billows rise from that mighty deep, and my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently this world below. Oh, he's a real friend to me. Oh, I love him so. And oh, I time together. Well, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. Oh, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Amen. Number 105 in your hymn book. If you want to see him, then you must love him. Oh, in a manger long ago, I know it's really so. A babe was born to save men from their sin. John saw him on the shore, the Lamb forevermore. Oh, Christ the crucified of Calvary. Oh, yes, I love that man from Galilee. Oh, for he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Well, the public went to pray in the temple there one day. He cried, "Oh Lord, be merciful to me." He was forgiven of every sin, then a deep peace placed within. He said, "Come see this man from Galilee." Oh yes, I love that man from Galilee. He's forgiven all my sins, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Well, the lame was made to walk, and the dumb was made to talk. That power he spoke with love upon the sea. Then the blind he made to see. Of that man from Galilee. Oh, you love him tonight? Oh, yes, I love that man from Galilee. Oh, for he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man. Why don't you turn and shake somebody's hand tonight? she knew. These words he said to him, oh, you must be born again by the spirit of that man from Galilee. Oh, yes, I love that man from Galilee. Oh, for he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sin, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Then the woman at the well, he all her sins did tell, how five husbands she had at that time. She was forgiven of every sin, then a deep peace came within. Oh, she cried, come see this man of Galilee. Oh, yes, I love that man from Galilee. Oh, for he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love. Oh, let's sing it one more time together tonight. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. For he's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins, placed the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee.
Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful that by revelation we can truly love him tonight? Amen. As Brother Arnie has quoted to us so many times, we love him because he first loved us. Without his love, where would we be? Amen. God bless you tonight. We got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord tonight. But before we do, I have a few different announcements and a testimony that we want to share. Sister Mayfield, the memorial service for her will be Tuesday, November the 13th at 7 p.m. at the Branham Tabernacle. So I want to remember that. Once again, that's Sister Mayfield's memorial service, Tuesday, November the 13th at 7 p.m. at the Branham Tabernacle. And we want to remember the Mayfield and the Layton family during this time of loss and just be in prayer for them. And then also, we will be having a youth Bible study Thursday, November the 29th at 7:30 here at the church for the young people. But we will not be having a youth Bible study in December. So if you want to go ahead and just make a note of that. It falls right in between Christmas and New Year's, and so we just decided not to have it at that time, but we will be having a youth Bible study November the 29th, and so just keep that in prayer and remember that. Also, some people had asked, and we will not be having a watch night service this year. I think it falls on a Monday night or a Tuesday night, and I just felt led just not to have the watch night service, but we will be having our regularly scheduled services Sundays and Wednesdays through November and December, weather permitting, unless we have some really bad weather and have to cancel some services, we will be having some of those. I think last year we had some fall on New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve and things like that, but I think it falls a day earlier this year on the 23rd and on the 30th, I guess. So we just plan on going right ahead and having service, and those that can't make it, that's fine, but I'll be here, Lord willing. Amen. So also we had a prayer request that we wanted, or a testimony rather, that we wanted to share. Sister Amanda Scott from my Uncle Jeff's church in Delaware had an endoscopy today, and the doctor said everything looks perfect. She'd been having some trouble swallowing, and they had some concerns about that, but they said everything looks fine except for some inflammation that they were going to test, they thought might be a possible infection. But other than that, everything looked great, so we want to praise the Lord for that. And then got several prayer requests, many not feeling well tonight. Brother Darrell Layton, he's traveling for work, so I want to remember him in prayer. Also, Sister Heidi Byerly's not feeling well tonight. Nathaniel Duvall not feeling well tonight. Sister Sherry Eplin not feeling well tonight. And also Sister Sherry's mother, Sister Jean Sanger, is recovering from back surgery. I want to remember her in prayer. Also, Sister Sherry's aunt, Sister Judy Sanger, fell and broke her hip, so I want to remember that situation in prayer. And Will Eplin has a migraine tonight. I want to remember him in prayer. I think Philip Also has a migraine tonight, so I want to remember him in prayer. And then Brother Arnie said, please pray for my dear wife, Alice. She's having breast surgery at 6:30 a.m. tomorrow to remove a small malignant tumor. We would appreciate the prayers of the dear saints at Open Door. So we want to certainly lift her up in prayer this evening. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests that you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each and every one. Brother Morris, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? Many, many different requests, sickness and body and people traveling and for this surgery tomorrow. But the Lord's more than able to come on the scene for each and every one. Amen. God bless you.
I think all of us, when we pray, we want to find favor with God, that He'll hear us. The little woman, Urban, talked about that washed his feet, wanted to do him service. And I read a little story some time ago about a little mouse was in the jungle, and the lion, big ferocious lion, caught the little mouse, and he played with him a little bit. The little mouse said, Mr. Lion, if you'll let me go, I promise you I'll return the favor, return the kindness. And the lion thought that was kind of cute. How could he return him a favor? And he's the king of the jungle. But he let him go. Later on, the little mouse was going through the jungle, and he heard the cry of the lion. The lion had been trapped by the hunters, things, and he couldn't get loose. The little mouse made his way to the lion. He was tangled up in the ropes, and he immediately started chewing the ropes and freed the lion. And I think the story's little moral was, no kindness that you try to give out to anybody else for the glory of God is ever in vain. Let's pray tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Give us, Lord, a humble heart and a sincere mind, Lord Jesus, for each of these spoken requests, written requests, each one that's been spoken tonight, Lord, across the platform here. We pray that you'll intervene and may your great presence go to that one, Lord, and we can find favor with you, and they can find favor tonight, Lord, to be touched by your virtue of healing, Lord, and victory. We pray for every unspoken request and every need and every heart, home, and life, that we'll always continue to serve you, Lord, and always, Lord, reach out to others in the love of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Hallelujah. God bless you.
God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I believe Sister Jennifer Soderquist has a special for us tonight, so just ask her to come at this time. appreciate that tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together again if you would. Number 244 in your hymn book, Heaven's Jubilee.
Oh, some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. He's coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. Oh, what rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise. Headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all arrive. Hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Well, seems that now I almost see sainted dead. They're rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. Oh, in the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be. All the living saints to fly to that jubilee. Then, oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. We begin to sing, oh, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Oh, millions there will join that song, with them we shall be. Just praising Christ through ages long, it's heaven's jubilee. Then, oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall. Again, oh, seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead. They're rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. Oh, in the twinkling of an eye, change with them I'll be. All the living saints to fly to that jubilee.
Number 22 in your hymn book.
Well, I heard an old story, how my Savior came from glory. Oh, how he gave his life on Calvary to save an old wretch like me. Oh, I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood Tony. Oh, then I repented of my sin and I won the victory. Oh, there's still victory in Jesus. Oh, he's my Savior forever. Oh, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming. How revealing how he had made the lame to walk again. Then he caused the blind to see. Oh, and then I cried, dear Jesus, Lord, come and heal my broken spirit. Oh, and somehow Jesus came. glory. Oh, and I heard about those streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. All about the angels singing and that old redemption story. Oh, and some sweet day I'm gonna sing up there my song of victory. Oh, there's still victory in Jesus. All you need it. There's still victory tonight. Maybe you came in without it, but you can walk out with victory tonight. Oh, with His redeeming blood. Oh, He loved the air. I knew Him. And all my love is to Him. Oh, He plunged me to victory. Let's sing it one more time. Oh, there's still victory in Jesus. He's my Savior forever. Oh, He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. Oh, He loved the air. I knew Him and all my love is to Him. Oh, He plunged me beneath. Oh, one more time. Oh,
for that tonight? You thankful for that love of God that Sister Jennifer was singing about? Amen. Thank God for His love and mercy to us. Where would we be without it? Amen. God bless you tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms. Psalms, and we want to look at Psalm 121 tonight. And you forgive me, the song leader ran a little over tonight, so we may be a little late, but you know how those song leaders can be. Psalm 121, and it's not Sunday morning, I realize, but it's only 8 verses, the entire psalm, so I just thought we would read it together. But instead of me reading the first verse and you reading the second and on through, let's just read each verse together of Psalm 121, starting with verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Lord Jesus, as we approach your throne again tonight, Lord, each and every one of us, no doubt, needs your help here tonight, Lord. Lord, from the musicians to the singers to the speaker to those that are sitting in the congregation, Lord, each one, no doubt, has a need. Lord, each and every one of us, Father, facing different things that Satan has thrown our way in life. And Lord, maybe some need encouragement. Maybe some need hope. Maybe some need just somebody to show them a little bit of Christian love that maybe they've just had a lack of that lately, that Oh, Lord, each and every one of us. Brother Bam said that you even heal through love, Lord, that you heal through many of these things. You heal through music, and you can heal through touch, and you can heal through medicine. You can heal through nature. You can heal through different ways, Father. But we thank you, Lord, that you're still Jehovah Jireh tonight. And Lord, whatever form the healing comes in, or Lord, whatever type of healing that is needed, if it's emotional, if it's physical, mental, spiritual, financial, relationship-wise, whether it's family, whatever it would be, Lord, I just ask that you'd come on the scene tonight, and Lord, may healing and restoration begin, Father. Lord, we need your help tonight. We're incapable in our humanity, Lord, and Lord, we just come before you tonight recognizing that if you don't come on the scene, Lord, then we'll just have to dismiss and say, well, I guess it was a okay service. But that if you'll come on the scene, Lord, that things of eternal importance can take place, that lives can be changed, that souls can be saved and the empty can be filled. And Lord, that you can come on the scene and change an old nature of bitterness and pride and hatred and malice and envy. You can come and just, Lord, restore it completely with love and patience and meekness. Lord, we've seen you do those things. Lord, we know that you're a living God, that you're not just some historical God or some God that we look to off in the future somewhere, but we believe you tonight as a present tense God, this present tense here tonight to meet the needs of your people. So, Lord, we have no better place to take them to. Lord, there's no building, no address, no person or personality that we could take our troubles to that would be a permanent cure except to you, Lord, to bring them to your feet and to lay them at your feet. Others can help and counsel and courage, and we appreciate all that. Others can come and do surgeries, and they can put a Band-Aid on a spot and things and assist nature. But Lord, it takes you. If there's going to be any true change in someone's life, in someone's body, whatever type of healing they would need tonight, Lord, we recognize it takes you to come on the scene. And so we bring our problems and our cares and our struggles, and we lay them at your feet tonight, Lord, knowing that, Lord, you're capable, even when we're incapable, that you're capable of bringing us through. We love you tonight, Jesus. We thank you for this atmosphere of worship and praise. We thank you for the songs of Zion of how we love you and how you loved us, Lord. And we're thankful for that tonight, Lord. We appreciate you and all that you do for us, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you richly. You can be seated tonight. I'm missing a couple people up here tonight, so I feel like I'm everywhere at once. I was going to act like I was handing it to somebody and then acting like I was going to receive it and put it over there. But I want to pick up this thought that we looked at a few weeks ago. We looked at it for two different services, and you just pray for me. My voice is not the best tonight. Just that time of year, I guess, sinus and drainage and allergies and things begin to hit with this weather change, and I can hear a few of you out there going through the same things, so you just pray for me tonight, my voice, and I'm a little tired in body. I was fellowshipping with some brothers last night, and then got home and had to rearrange some things for some Amish brothers that were coming to build a shed for us today, and they got there about 6:50 this morning, so I had to get up about 6:30, and then they needed some transportation because the gentleman that dropped them off had to leave and go somewhere, so had to transfer them back and forth to the hardware store and carry lumber. And I told them, I said, next time you all raise a barn, you're going to be calling me to help you haul lumber. I can see that right now. So I'm a little tireder than normal. My watch says I got 2.5 hours sleep last night, and I was in bed a lot longer than that, but I was just restless and had a terrible dream that somebody came in and tried to pull a gun out in church and things, and just crazy stuff all night long, so I didn't rest very well. And then every time I'd try to lay down and rest today, something would come up. So I'm tired in body, but usually what that means is that there's less of Nathan Bryant to get out of the way, so I believe we'll just have church tonight. Amen. So you pray for me. I'm not saying all that as a pity party tonight. I'll be fine. I'll sleep in tomorrow, Lord willing. But you just pray for me tonight that through my mental fog, that the Lord will use that just to erase some of Nathan Bryant and let some of him come through and speak to you tonight. Amen. I know there's a lot of people don't believe that God still does that, but we do. We believe that the Holy Spirit still moves on people. It doesn't have to be the pastor. It can be any individual that God moves upon. Brother Bam said the Holy Spirit can move anywhere, any place, any time, upon any person that he wants to. So, amen, I still believe it tonight. We want to look at this thought that we picked up a few weeks ago on looking in the wrong dimension. And we had looked at Elisha, how that once Elijah had died, the sons of the prophets and the school of the prophet there, of the prophets, they went out to try to find Elijah's body. And Elisha told them, he said, don't look. And they went out and looked anyhow. But we found that they were looking in the wrong dimension. It wasn't that Elijah was dead. They looked on the mountaintops and they looked all around, but they couldn't find him. But the problem was they were looking in the wrong dimension. And we brought up many different types and things, how that many times down through history, men were looking in the wrong dimension for some things. We looked at Elisha again, how that he was standing there and how that they were surrounded by the Syrian army and how that Gehazi began to get troubled. And Elisha looked around and he said, hey, don't worry, there's more with us than there are with them. They were both standing looking at the same circumstances. Brother Bram said Elisha may not have actually seen them with his eyes either, but he recognized their presence, that they were there. So what it was is they were looking in the wrong dimension. Gehazi was actually, and Elisha, depending on that other dimension. So as we read here tonight, David picks it up in the Psalms. He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. So he recognizes that it's not so much that, you know, as our in our humanity, many times we have a tendency to lean on the arm of the flesh and to lean on our brothers or sisters or somebody that we have confidence in, or in our bank account, or in our our gun safe, or whatever your dependency is on, your retirement or your hobby or whatever that your dependency is on. Many times, if we're not careful, we begin to lean on natural things or on people and personalities. But we find as we look in the Bible that the scriptures were constantly encouraging us not to lean on humanity, not to lean on material things or temporal things, but to lean on things of above, to lean on things that were from God. And I want to look at several different instances through the scripture here tonight, and I believe it'll encourage you, because no doubt each and every one of you are facing different things. No doubt every family, every individual, whether it's a 5-year-old child or an 80-year-old person, whatever it would be tonight, each and every one of you are facing different things in your life. Some of you are facing drastically different things, and to compare one's trials with another, maybe you would think, well, goodness, they don't go through what I go through. But then when we walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, we recognize, you know, hey, I'd rather just trade your shoes back and keep my own. So God, I believe, custom fits our trials for our personality and for our condition. And he doesn't do that to be evil or to be hateful, but he does it because he recognizes that we need to be shaped into his image. And sometimes that shaping, he has to take us back to the potter's house and just do a complete remake over on us and mold us and make us and chip away at us. And so our trials tonight, whatever your individual trials are, if we can look at it in this sense that we've talked about it, we've sang about it, we've preached about it, we've listened to quotes and scriptures about it, but if we could recognize tonight that God has everything under control. I don't know if the elections went the way that you wanted to or if they didn't go the way that you wanted to yesterday, but I know one thing, God has everything under control. God is on the scene. I'm not depending. I appreciate many of the things that President Trump has done for our country and for the veterans and taking the embassy back to Jerusalem and many things like that he's done. I appreciate those things, but I'm not depending on President Trump. I'm not depending on the Senate. I'm not depending on the House or the Vice President or the Secretary of State. I'm not depending on any certain church or certain personality. I'm not depending on a specific doctrine. I'm depending. My dependency is in Jesus Christ and him crucified. But we thank God that we don't only recognize him as crucified, but we also recognize him in the power of his resurrection. Our dependency must be in him. If our dependency is in our own flesh and our own ability, our own mental ability to memorize or our own ability to debate or our ability to stand for something, you know, as time goes by, if we get old enough or whatever it be, sometimes our mental faculties or our physical faculties, whatever it would be, those things begin to wax and wane a little bit, but yet there's something about it down on the inside of that body. Regardless of how old it gets, regardless of how much pain it's in, regardless of the mental condition. Brother Bam said in demonology, he said that a person could be completely insane and still have the Holy Ghost. So I'm not depending on my mental ability tonight. I'm not depending on my knowledge. I'm not depending on my bank account. I'm not depending on a 401k or a retirement. I'm depending solely on Jesus Christ. The Bible said if we gain the whole world and lose our soul, what good would it do us? If I had all the money of Donald Trump and Bill Gates and some of these men combined, what good would it do me when I'm depending every moment for every breath in my body on Jesus Christ? So our dependency must be upon him. We find out when we depend on him, we can look down through Bible history and even since Bible history, just through natural history, and see amazing things that God has done where when people were trying to fight battles for themselves or they were trying to figure it all out or work it all out, and so many times if they would just let go and let God, he would come on the scene and work it all out in a way that was beyond human explanation. Exodus chapter 23, when they come out of Egypt, God tells Moses, he said, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." Now, he didn't say that it was going to be easy. He didn't say that it was going to be short. He didn't say that it was going to be just a cakewalk or a picnic. But what he did say was that before you get where you're going, I'm going to send an angel before you to prepare the way. Before you get to the trial, there's already going to be something supernaturally taking place in the background to get you through the trial. He says again in verse 27, "I will send my fear before thee." Not only is he sending his angel before Moses, he's sending the fear of God before him. "And will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before thee." Now these were nations that no doubt as they're coming out of Egypt, here they are. They're not a military force. They're not a military power. They didn't come out of Egypt with swords and spears and machine guns and tanks, but they came out by a supernatural deliverance, God moving on the scene in a supernatural way, plagues and signs and wonders and vindications. And now God tells Moses, he said, "Look, there's going to be trials ahead of you. There's going to be times ahead of you that maybe you get frustrated, and there's going to be times that the people want to turn back to Egypt, and there's going to be times when it doesn't look like everything's going all right, but just remember, I'm sending my angel before you. I'm sending my fear before you. Not only that, I'm going to send some hornets before you, and they're going to drive out some of these kingdoms and nations that were going to be such a problem for you, but I'm just going to go ahead and take care of that before you even get to it." I wonder how many times we sit and we whine and complain about our trials, but I wonder how many he's just sent something on ahead of us and bypassed for us. He says, "I will not drive them out from thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land." He's telling them, look, if I drive all these nations out and just completely destroy everybody before you, then the land is just going to grow up and be unpopulable, and you're just going to have all kinds of troubles. But he said, by little and by little, I'm not sending my angel 10,000 miles ahead of you, but I'm sending him a little ways ahead of you, and he's going to go ahead and begin to take care of things before you get there. And there's going to be trials, and there's going to be battles, and there's going to be things that you face, but I'm sending some preparations ahead of you before you get there. Oh my. Now, God's not a respecter of persons. We looked at this recently. So if he would do that for the children of Israel, he's obligated to do the same for us. Now, he didn't completely wipe out everybody. They had battles, physical battles that they had to fight. They had trials and they had tribulations. They had shortages of water and shortages of food and things that they had to go through and trials and persecutions. But yet God was with them the whole time. And if they would have been patient with God and just taken a step back and said, "Lord, we've seen you do so much. We've seen you bring us out when Pharaoh wouldn't let us go. Then you turn him around and made it in such a place that he wanted us to leave. And then when he decided he was going to change his mind, once he got out from under that anointing and conviction, then he begins to come after us. And we was against the Red Sea, and we thought for sure that we would just be killed. And then Moses encouraged us, stand still and see the salvation of God." Many times that's the hardest thing for us to do, is to stand still. Because we want to do something. And then we realize, wait a minute, there's nothing I can't do. I can't move this mountain. I can't move this Red Sea. I can't whip Pharaoh's whole army by myself. And we recognize, I just have to depend on God. And when we get to that place, then we begin to see him move on the scene with a mighty strong hand. He brings them through the Red Sea. He brings water out of a rock for them. My, he brings manna out of the heavens to them. And he provides for them to where after 40 years wandering in the wilderness, there wasn't a feeble one among them. And their clothes and their shoes hadn't worn out. I want to tell you tonight, Costco and Amazon and wherever you want to go buy your clothes, JCPenney or wherever it would be, none of them will give you a 40-year guarantee that your clothes and your shoes won't wear out or you can bring them back. But God brought them through and provided for them. Amen. Oh my. He says again, I will send an angel before thee. Exodus 33 verse 2. And I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. David, under the inspiration of Psalm 124 verse 2, he said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quickly when their wrath was kindled against us. From this we get the little song, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Where would I be? Every one of us can look back and see times where in our life where we think, if it hadn't been for the Lord in this circumstance, if it hadn't been for the Lord in this point in my life, maybe it was as a teenager, maybe it was as a young adult, or maybe it was somewhere in your life, and you got to a point of desperation, like Brother Branham talked about there in life's story, how that he had got to a place where he called it his Gethsemane, to where his wife and his child and his daddy and his brothers, and seemed like everything that he loved was being taken from him. And he said he got to the point the devil began to whisper in his ear and said, that's right, God doesn't love you. If he loved you, he wouldn't do this. And he began to whisper in his ear and tell him, you ought to just give up, and tell him all these different things. And he said, I was just about to say, that's right. And he said, then something down on the inside. Wasn't something back in the back of his brain that he had memorized? Wasn't something that mind over matter? Wasn't name it and claim it? But something down on the inside, a predestinated seed, when there was nothing left in him and his humanity and his ability to hold on, something on the inside, he said, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. What was it? He reached a point where God had to take over. And if it hadn't been for the Lord on his side, oh, don't look at him tonight and think anything negative. If it hadn't been for the Lord on our side, every one of us would have fallen flat on our face. There wouldn't be one of us serving him if it hadn't been that he was on our side. Amen. Psalm 63 verse 7 says, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. When I begin to read this today, I just kind of got a mental picture of Papa Eagle with his wings spread out over us, and how that no matter how hard the wind is blowing, no matter how bad the trial is, that when we know that he is our help, we're not depending on a machine gun, we're not depending on a bank account or a lawyer or some personality or some educated something that we could educate ourselves into, but when we can stand there in the shadow of his wings, then we can rejoice and say, hey, I don't care what comes or what goes. I'm in the shadow of the wing of Papa Eagle. Amen. Amen. What a blessed assurance that we have tonight. In the book of Judges, there was a man named Gideon, and we've looked at it before, and Gideon, in our mental thinking and our humanity, there's no way we would have called him what the angel called him when he came and found him, because here we find Gideon, and you know the all these different nations would come in, the Philistines and the Moabites and the different ones, and they would begin to attack the children of Israel. Shamgar went through times like that, and Samson and different ones of the judges, they begin to face times like this. And so now Moab begins to come up against the children of Israel, and here he is, and he's hiding. He's not out there saying, hey, bring it on, boys. I'm ordained of God. I'm anointed of God. God called me to do something. I challenge everybody in the world. I challenge this and I challenge that. What was he doing? He was hiding in his daddy's threshing floor, and he'd thresh a little wheat, and then he'd hide, and then he'd thresh a little, and he'd hide a little. And all of a sudden, a man comes walking to him. He said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Me, the guy hiding behind the threshing floor? Mighty man of valor? He said, I'm the least in my family, and my family's the least in all the tribes of Israel. He said, but I'm going to use you to deliver Israel. Amen. He said, how are you going to do that, Lord? How are you going to do that? I'm not a valiant man. I'm not a soldier. I'm not a captain. But he takes God at his word. He puts a fleece before the Lord. He said, Lord, if this is really you, I'm not just going to give some random something that's a 50-50 chance, but I'm going to give something so supernatural that it would have to take God to come on the scene and prove that this is what he's wanting me to do. And God does it. And then he turns around and said, Lord, if it's really you, let's do the opposite now. And he puts this fleece literally before the Lord. And God comes down and the fleece is dry and the rest of the ground has dew. And then the next morning, the fleece, he could wring it out. It was so wet with dew, but the rest of the ground was dry. And he said, okay, Lord, if you can do that, then I've got confidence in you that you've called me. And so he goes and he begins to get a group of men together and all my, you know, kind of an ecumenical move, just surround ourselves by a bunch of flesh and lean on the arm of flesh and have confidence in the arm of flesh. And he gets about 32,000 men that are following him. And he thinks, oh, my, you know, we're still outnumbered, but I've got a little bit of confidence now. It's not just me, myself, and I. It's not my four and no more, but now I've got a group that's following me, 32,000 men. I'm ready to go whip these guys. And he begins to march down the road, and the Lord says, Gideon, one thing before you go. We don't want no sissies. We don't want nobody that's going to turn and battle and run. He said, why don't you tell them that anybody that doesn't want to fight, just tell them to go home. He said, well, bless God, these men are soldiers, and they've heard what God did in this age, and they've seen the supernatural. Oh, my, maybe a dozen will leave church, you know, when they hear about some of these things, Brother Hoover. And he gets up that night, and he begins to testify about it, and 22,000 walk off and leave him. Talk about a church split. 32,000, a mega church, and now he's down to 10,000. Oh, that's still pretty good, Gideon. That's still a good group. You know, that's a good number. And so they get ready to march to battle, and God says, Gideon, now I want you to have them lay down by there and get them a drink of water out of this creek, and depending on how they kneel, if they lay on their belly or if they lap it like a dog or have a bee, you're going to be able to know if these men have knelt to Baal, if they're idol worshipers, and everybody that does it that way, you kick them out. He said, oh my, well, these are good godly men. They've been going to the synagogue and they've followed the tabernacle in the wilderness, and they wouldn't do any of that. And now of the 10,000, he has 300 men left. You realize that's less than 1% of what he started out with? 300 men. He went from himself to 32,000 to 300 in a matter of days. And he's thinking, what on earth, Lord? How am I going to defeat these men that are like the sands of the seas? How am I going to defeat them with 300 men? And then, you know, having a little bit of military tactics, he splits these men into three divisions, and 100 go with him, and 100 go with another captain, and 100 goes with another captain. And God tells him, says, listen, Gideon, I want you to go out and sneak into the camp there tonight, and I want you to listen to what they're saying over there. And when you go in, I want you to hear what's taking place. And he goes in, and you know, they said, oh my, we heard that there was this great barley roll. I had a dream last night, and it began to roll into the camp of the Midianites here, and it just began to wipe out tents and lay them on in. And a man said, you know what that is? That's nothing but the sword of the Lord and Gideon. That's nothing, but that's what that is. And he realized, oh my, the fear of the Lord has gone before me, just like he promised it would. You realize when Moses had passed away and the prophet had gone off the scene, and now God began to raise up anointed men like Joshua and Caleb to take them on over to the promised land, and they get over there and they go in and they begin to spy out the land, and they come back with a good report, and they begin to tell Moses, they said, look, we're going to go down here, or they begin to tell Joshua rather, they said, look, we went down and we talked to this harlot named Rahab, and she said that the fear of our God has gone before us, and that these men that are like giants that we thought we were grasshoppers in their eyes, that they're shaking in their boots because of the testimonies that have gone before us. Amen. The fear of the Lord had gone on before them. And so now Gideon, he begins to have a little courage, and he tells them, he says, look, we're going to go in and we're going to break the pitchers and blow the trumpets. And these 300 men sneak into the camp in Judges chapter 7 verse 20. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow with all. Where was their sword? Where was their machine gun? Where was their bazooka? Where was their tank? They go into battle with a lamp and a pitcher and a trumpet. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and Gideon And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. You say, oh my, they must have had some strong vocal cords. No, the fear of the Lord had already gone before Gideon. And they were so nervous and upset that then when this takes place outside their tents, they begin to run and scream and cry. 1 Samuel chapter 7:10, the Philistines are coming up against Israel, and Samuel's going to offer an offering. And it says, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. They didn't have to get their armies and line them up in a row. And they didn't have to get their chariots and their swords and their horses. God thunders from heaven. And it scared them so bad they was all turned around, didn't know what to do. And Israel just comes down and wipes them out. Again. 2 Kings chapter 3. This is the story that we looked at a few times recently where Elisha sitting there and here comes Jehoshaphat and the son of Ahab and the king of Edom, and they come down because they've gone out to fight against this great army. And when they do, they recognize they're out there in the desert wandering around looking for them, and they recognize that there's no water for them or their army or their animals. And so they begin to get turned around. They said, what on earth is going on? And Ahab's son said, look, I guess that the Lord has just did this to us to where he's brought down these men to just wipe out us three kings. And Jehoshaphat said, well, you know what's wrong? We went about to do this. We got excited and worked up in the flesh, and you came to me, and I was leaning on the arm of your flesh. And then the king of Edom, he came to me and he was leaning on the arm of my flesh, and we forgot to consult the Lord. You know, that'll always get us in trouble. Amen. When we go out to do something and don't consult him. And so now these men, they begin to go, and Jehoshaphat said, oh my, where's a prophet of God that we could consult? And they said, well, there's one down here, Elisha, that poured water on Elijah's hands. He said, oh, the word of the Lord is with him. Let's go down and talk and have a conversation with him. And they got down there, and Elisha, my, they thought he was just going to open up the door and welcome him in and make him comfortable. And he said, look, if it wasn't for the presence of this righteous Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even look at you or speak at you. Uh-huh. And he said, bring me a minstrel and play. He got all worked up. And so the minstrel came and began to play. Brother Bram said, when the minstrel began to play, that the Spirit of the Lord fell on him. He said, shame on you people that don't believe in stringed instruments. He said, of course not. The devils always hate him. That's what he said. We just looked at the quote last week, remember? He said, evil spirits always hate those, because why? They have to flee. When an anointed, whatever, whether it's a piano player or a guitar player, whatever type of instrument it is, Brother Branham said in one quote there, he said, they begin to beat the drums and play. There's going to be a meeting in the air, the sweet, sweet by and by. He said, Elisha began to pat his foot, and the Spirit of God came on him. He said, maybe you're not the prophet tonight. He said, but you can be one of the minstrels. He said, if you ain't got nothing but a 10-string instrument, he said, you just play that one with all that you got. Amen. You can be a part too. He said, if you can't be the prophet, do something to bring the Spirit down. And so as they begin to do this, the Spirit of the Lord comes on him, and he says, make the valley full of ditches. In chapter 3, verse 16 of 2 Kings, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Not only is he going to bring them water where there was no water, but now he's going to deliver this army into their hands. Now, Brother Branham talks about it. He preaches this sermon several times, make the valley full of ditches, or making the valley full of ditches. I think three different times he preaches this sermon. He said, now, when you begin to dig down a little bit and you hit a rock, and somebody, you're a relative or a friend or something, says, hey, the days of miracles are past. He said, just throw the rock aside and keep on digging. A lot of the problem around the message is people ran into somebody that, you know, got discouraged or got disillusioned. They begin to throw all kinds of fanaticism at them. They was way out in left field or way out in right field, or they had got disillusioned and thought the message was wrong and the prophet was wrong. They begin to feed them all kinds of garbage, and they thought, well, what about this? And instead of just throwing that to the side and digging a little deeper. Amen. But he said, make the valley full of ditches. He didn't say give up the first time, you know, that you come to something. And he said, make the valley full of ditches. So they dig these ditches, and they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water. These ditches that they dug now fill with water. They didn't hear any rain. They didn't hear any wind or see anything, but the ditches began to fill with water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. Now to them, they're looking down in the valley, and well, we've dug these ditches and now we got water for our cattle, but now what are we going to do? We're still facing this battle. We're still in this valley. We're still in this trial. But on the other side of the mountain, as the sun begins to come up and shine, you know, it is the rising of the sun. It begins to come up over the hill and shine down on them. And the Moabites look down. They see the reflection of the sun. They think, oh, goodness, it's just a bunch of blood down there filling this valley and filling these ditches. Those three kings, you know how those message believers are. They can't hardly get along for 5 minutes anyhow. And they got together and they began to fellowship, and they got so mad at one another and got into quote wars, and they killed one another, and they had a great slaughter of the kings, and we'll just go down and gather the spoils now. Well, glory. Verse 23, and they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain. They have smitten one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites so that they fled before them. But they went forward smiting the Moabites even in their own country. Now you can imagine coming up on this camp and you see, you think it's just blood everywhere and that they're already dead. And my, they were so excited and so happy. They leave their swords and they leave their chariots and they come running down the hill to gather the gold and the garments and the jewels, and the Israelites just rise up and slay them right there. What was it? God did something supernatural. It wasn't mind over matter. It wasn't name it and claim it. It wasn't that the Israelites were better fighters. It was that God had went before them and did something supernatural so that they could have the victory. You know, sometimes God goes before us, and sometimes he'll lay a song on the song leader's heart, or he'll lay a song on the musician's heart, or on some special singer's heart, or he'll lay a sermon or a tape or something on the pastor's heart, or some guest minister or one of the local ministers to come in, and all of a sudden you get in the service and maybe you're going through just the deepest, darkest trial you can think of, and all of a sudden some song or some word or some quote begins to minister to you, and you think, goodness gracious, how did they know? They don't know the situation. How did they know? They didn't know the conversation I had at the dinner table. They didn't know what the conversation we had on the car on the way to church. How do they know about this? And what is it? God went before and did something supernatural so that you could have the victory. Amen. You know, I don't leave him back in the Old Testament. I don't leave him in the New Testament. I don't leave him in 47 or 65. In 2018 tonight, he's still just the same as he was when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee. He hasn't lost a bit of his power. If he has, then what kind of God are we serving? He was not a God that said, I'll get weaker and wiser, like Brother Bram said people in this age did. But he said, I am God. I change not. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So if you're serving a weak God tonight, it's some God of your imagination, not the God of the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver. Now, I don't know if you've ever been so hungry that you'd pay 80 pieces of silver for a donkey's head, but that's pretty hungry. But let's read a little further. And the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. They were starving to death. They were eating donkey's heads. They were eating pigeon dung. They were boiling one another's babies. And the king of Israel comes down and he says, oh my, said, what is taking place here? And a woman comes and says, hey, we need some counsel here. Said, this woman over here, she asked me last night to boil my child that we'd eat, and then today she'd boil hers. And she said, we ate my child last night, but now she won't let me eat hers. And he said, goodness gracious, he said, so do God to me and more if by this time tomorrow Elisha's head isn't taken from him. He thought that he was the troublemaker, but when Elisha found him, he said, hey, you son of a murderer, why don't you go back to your mommy's gods and your daddy's gods? Uh-huh. Ahab said to Elijah, he said, oh, here comes the one that troubles Israel. He said, no, you're the one that troubles Israel. And so they're in this situation. They're starving to death. They're besieged on the outside of the city. If they go out, it'll be certain death. If they stay in the city, they're starving to death there and eating anything they can. And now Elisha gets under the anointing in the next chapter, and he says in verse 1, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." This is the same town that was paying 80 shekels of silver for a donkey's head. And he says, now some measure of barley and things are going to be sold for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. "Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" You know, that's the attitude we get sometimes. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. That's how we think about God. Just a cupful, Lord. I don't want to drink too much because I don't want to take too much of your power and make you weak or something. Brother Bram said, could you imagine a little mouse in the granary of Egypt sitting there and thinking, oh, I better eat sparingly because I might eat all this up. He said, could you imagine a little goldfish out there swimming in the ocean thinking, oh, I better be careful. I better not take in too much of this H2O, or, you know, I might drink up the whole ocean. He said, that would be just not a drop in the bucket to what it would be to the powers and limitlessness of God. And then we come with our little cup. Lord, I need another blessing tonight. I need you. Lord, I don't need a whole lot. Just can you get me from Wednesday night to Sunday morning? If you could just do that much for me, Lord, that'd be a big help. I just need to make it to Sunday morning. And then if you can help me from that to get back to Wednesday night and struggle through the week, just that's all. And what did Brother Hoover say? He said he began to hear that big delivery truck back up. Beep, beep, beep. Whole lot more than a cup full, isn't it?
Amen.
And God's wanting to pour out the windows of heaven, and we say, well, you know, I don't know if God can do that. Now, I know I believe that God's still God and all that, but that's just too supernatural for me. That's too much. I don't know that God could do that. That's the attitude that this man had. He said, if God poured out the windows of heaven, this thing couldn't take place. And Elisha says to him, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. His lack of faith. You know, there's a lot of people that have done the same thing. They can see with their eyes, and they see and they look and they behold, and they sit under anointing, or they sit under an atmosphere. They come into a church service, and it seemed like people getting delivered and things, and they sit there and they think, you know, it seemed like I did feel something in that service, but I just don't know. I just don't think I could go down there and kneel at an altar. I don't think I could go up and have some man pray for me. And they sit there and they see it, but they don't ever really fully come in and partake of it. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one another, why sit we here until we die? Now, they're talking in the physical food, but sometimes we get in that spot spiritually where we get in an old spiritual rut, and we've run around one thing for 73 years or whatever it be, and we, you know, I get to the point I want to say, hey, look, are we just going to sit here until we die? You know, like the man, Brother Bam talked about the black man eating watermelon. He said, that's good, boss, but there's more. Amen. Watermelon's good and a piece of it's good, but there's more than just that, all right? Amen. Why sit we here till we die? Why run around in a circle like the children of Israel for 40 years, though in the Pentecostal skies, Brother Bam said, is full of the real thing?
Amen.
If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up. You know, maybe that's how some of you came to this church. We just won't go into too deep into that tonight. I don't want to run anybody away. Oh, let's just go on to verse 5. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host.
All right.
Some of you husbands can relate to this. You know, about 3 o'clock in the morning, your wife says, what was that noise out there? Did you hear that? Did you hear that, honey? No, I think you were dreaming something and heard a raccoon or something in your sleep. No, go check. I'll be right here in bed behind you. You go check. But the Lord makes the entire host of Syria to hear a noise that wasn't even there. You know, sometimes a lot of people get worked up over a noise that's not even really there. To hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses and even a noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life." You talk about some scared boys. And here they were. They had Samaria surrounded. They had people starving to death. They was too weary and tired to fight. They had them right where they wanted. And the people didn't have no choice but to stay in there and die or come out of the city and die. And two or four leper boys sitting there. And they say, "Look, are we just going to sit here and accept our condition? Or are we going to go forward?" You know, there's something about the bride of Jesus Christ. She doesn't go backwards. She just goes forwards. And they said, "Look, I don't know what God's going to do, what God's not going to do, but at least, you know, at least we've got a chance this direction." They begin to walk, and they begin to find in the middle of the night, God had sent a supernatural sound and had just upset this army so bad that God had defeated the whole army for them. Nobody had to pull a sword. Nobody had to go out and hire a bunch of men. Nobody had to get the chariots hooked up to the horses. God had already went before them and fought their battles. And we get worried. "Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do about this, and I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to have a talk with Brother So-and-so, and I guess I'm going to have to sit Sister So-and-so down and tell her, give her a piece of my mind. I guess I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that." Why don't you let God fight your battles?
All right.
Amen. It works out a lot better, I find. They hear this noise in the night, and they run off, and God supernaturally, and these men sitting there, and they did like a lot of message folks, you know, "We'll just stay here in the tent and eat. And you know, here we are. We've got everything that we need. And we have arrived. And we'll just hide out in our basement because we don't want to get deceived by nobody else." And one of them spoke up and said, "Hey, we do not well on this day when the Lord's blessing us." He said, "Why don't we go tell somebody else about how God's blessing? Why don't we go witness to somebody else? You know, here we are lepers, but we got a message to take to somebody and tell them, hey, God is doing something for his people in this age." And they begin to take it back to the city, and the people got so excited. They didn't say, "Well, days of miracles are past, and well, God just doesn't work like that anymore." They were so excited, they came running out of the gate, and here stood that man that said, "Oh my, even if God had opened the floodgates of heaven, it couldn't happen." And there he said, "What's going on, folks?" And he looks out there, and he sees the tent, and he sees the food, and he says, "Oh my, God's starting to move in this age." But it was too late, and he got trampled by everybody else. You know, sometimes people can wait around too long. "Well, I'll wait till I'm older. I'll wait till I sow my wild oats, and I'll wait till I do this, and I'll wait to do that." Someday you may wait too long. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 14, and you forgive me tonight if I just completely make a mess of these names, but I have to read this verse to get through to the next verse, so you pray for me. "Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem." This is still in the time of Jehoshaphat. "And now, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's."
Amen.
What a comfort to know. "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you." See, many times we're looking in the wrong dimension. We're looking, what if I can just get Brother Lee on my side, then, you know, he'll take up for me. And if I can get Brother Jimmy to see it my way, then he'll stand with me. And if I can get this other church over here to support me, then, and you know, if I can just get this group and this brother and that brother, if I can get them on my side and I can just get them to see it my way, then, you know, then they'd be there to support me. And, oh, this brother over here, he'd have my back. And this brother over here, he'd help me, you know, defeat this other brother over here. And we'd get in some quote wars with him. And he says, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. "O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Verse 20 of the same chapter. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." Well, I don't think that was just for Chronicles. You want to hear a prosperity gospel tonight? Believe in God's prophets and you'll prosper. Amen. I'm not promising you $1 million. I'm not promising you a 50,000 square foot home, but I believe God will prosper you. Amen. There's something about it to receive a prophet in the name of a prophet. You receive a prophet's reward. Brother Branham said, what did that mean? They asked him in questions and answers. Said it might come in handy to be the friend of a prophet sometime. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. How are you going to prosper? Because there's benefits that go along with this. Remember the Lord and forget not all his benefits. Amen. There's some benefits that go along to these things. I was talking to a brother recently. I can't remember right now off the top of my head who the brother was, but he was talking about how when he had been out of town recently, there was a message brother that was doing some audiovisual work for a nominal church, and they went in. Some of the best musicians and best singers in all of Christendom was there and singing and worshiping the Lord. And he said it was nice. It was a good atmosphere and things like that. They were just praising the Lord and hallelujah and charismatic style, you know. And he goes back that afternoon and he goes to a little message church, not near as many people, not near as talented of musicians, not near as you know, probably not whooping it up as much in an emotional workup. But there was a little devil-possessed woman there in the service. And she began to speak out to the minister in the service, began to cry out to him, and I think in a man's voice, if I remember correctly, and begin to say things and scream out in the service. And the minister began to rebuke her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was delivered of that thing. Wasn't as many people there. Wasn't maybe as loud. Wasn't maybe as fancy. Wasn't maybe as talented. But there were some benefits that they had. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Amen. Now God's already told him. He said, look, you don't have to fight in this battle. You don't need your swords. You don't need to take your weapons. You don't need to take your bazookas and your cannons and your tanks and all that. And so Jehoshaphat tells them, look, we're not going to take the swords and the spears and the shields this time. We're going to send some singers out before us. And they're just going to praise the beauty of holiness. And they're going to sing praises to our God because his mercy endureth forever. Amen. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. All they were doing was praising the Lord. All they did was come, Brother Jimmy. They weren't attacking their brothers. They weren't attacking the guy across the street. They weren't attacking this army. They weren't doing anything. God told them, you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to do nothing to fight this battle. The battle isn't yours. It's mine. You just go out there and have a good time. And they come out and they begin to rejoice and to praise. Praise you, the Lord. His mercy endureth forever and ever. Oh, my, we worship him in the beauty of the holiness. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments on these that were coming against them. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. So here, Moab and Ammon are coming to fight Israel. And they think, well, I'm this little other guy over here on the way, we'll just stop by his church and wipe him out before we get to them. You know what? We'll just really show him something. So they stopped to fight them. And then when Moab and Ammon began to fight him, they began to get confused of who was what. And they began to fight one another and slay one another until all of a sudden all their enemies lay dead on the ground. They hadn't pulled out a sword. They hadn't pulled out a spear. All they was doing was praising the Lord and saying, "Praise ye the Lord. His mercy endureth forever and ever." Amen. I hope you get the spiritual application tonight. Amen. Amen. That we don't always have to roll up our sleeves and prove everybody wrong. We don't always have to go in and ramrod everybody around and bully everybody around and prove everybody around. Sometimes we'd be better off if we just come and say, "Praise you, the Lord. His mercy endures forever and ever." And then the Lord would go out before us and work out all these things. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Hezekiah begins to tell them in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 7. It says, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. There's something about it. When you hear a truth that you know is an eternal truth, you can just rest on it. Didn't matter whether all these other armies agreed or didn't agree. Didn't matter whether the Syrians agreed or didn't agree. Didn't matter what they did. They weren't depending on men. Didn't matter if their brother down the road agreed or didn't agree. They weren't depending on the arm of flesh. Well, all they knew is that God had spoke and that they could rest in the word of God. There's something about it. When you get a true revelation from God, it doesn't want to make you lift yourself up and be some big somebody and say, "Look, oh, my poor brother Jimmy, he just doesn't see it like we see it. You know, poor brother, you know, we sure are praying for him. And, you know, he's just way back there in backfield somewhere." And it doesn't lift you up. True revelation humbles you down.
Amen.
To where you can come and say, "Oh, thank you, Lord. I don't know. I didn't deserve this. I didn't deserve to come to this. I didn't deserve to see this." And instead of going out and wanting to fight everybody and straighten everybody out, all of a sudden you can just sit back and rest and say, "Lord, your word is true. Whether anybody believes it or not, I'm just resting in it." Hosea chapter 1 verse 7, "But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God." I'll save them by the Lord their God and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. David says it in Psalm 20, verse 7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Again, when he goes to fight Goliath, he tells him that God was going to show those that was assembled there that day that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. You see, Goliath was trusting in his strength and his size and his spear and his sword and all these things. And he was looking at David, just a little puny, ruddy little guy. He thought comparatively there was no way that he could do anything. But David wasn't comparing the size of Goliath. He wasn't comparing the strength of the leather of his sling or the size of the stone. He was trusting completely in the Lord. And he knew that the same God that delivered him from the lion and the bear, when there wasn't really a spiritual warfare there, it was just a physical thing, how much more would he deliver him from this spiritual warfare when this uncircumcised Philistine had challenged the armies of the living God? He said, "I'm here to tell you, Goliath, the Lord doesn't say with the sword and the spear, but the battle is the Lord's."
Amen.
He wasn't trusting in his own ability as a slingman. He was trusting in the Lord. You recognize that the Lord... We see and look at it, some of the ways that Brother Branham says it several different times here, but we recognize God. We come into his presence and we think, "Oh my, he's so mighty to save. He's mighty to heal." But he's also mighty in battle. Psalm 24, verse 7, David said, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." And they begin to answer back to him and said, "Who is this King of glory?" And the answer comes again, "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle."
Amen.
Brother Branham tells a story, and I know we're running out of time. I'm trying to wind things up tonight, but Brother Branham tells a story about a couple of sisters that had come to the meetings, and one of them, she was friends with a little girl that had been in an insane institution. He said the meetings had got to a spot where financially they were in the negative. And one of the brothers, I think it was Brother Baxter, had come to him and said, "Brother Branham, we're about $500 in the negative from these meetings, the expenses and things." And he said there was this little girl that had brought her friend from a mental institution to be prayed for. And he said she got delivered. And he said the Lord had already showed me that they was going to put $500 in an envelope and put it in the meeting. And he said, Brother Baxter came in. He said, "Look here, Brother Branham, $500 just exactly." He said, "See, Brother Baxter, you don't have to go out and pull and beg for offerings and things." And so they go out and they begin to testify about it. And then all of a sudden it begins to hit the newspapers. Here they are testifying in the streets and things. And a rumor begins to go around and said that this divine healer, the FBI, was going to expose him. And they come and they knock on Brother Branham's hotel room door. And they're weeping and crying. The manager there with them said, "Brother Branham, they want to talk to you." And they said, "Oh, we're sorry, Brother Branham. We're sorry." Said, "Oh, we've got you in trouble. We're going to pack our bags and leave town. We was going around testifying about what God did. And now the FBI is going to expose you." He said, "If I can be exposed, I need to be exposed." Oh my, they talk big now that, you know, his coffin's in the ground and he's in another dimension, but they didn't do so much of that back then. If they did, usually they packed him out. He tells them in Power of God 1955, he said, "I said, come and see the Lord in battle. You know, he's wonderful in healing. See him in battle one time. See what, how great he is." I said, "Oh, he's marvelous in battle." I said, "I've never seen him come in a battle yet, but what, he come out packing the victory. Even when they put him in hell, he put his head, oh, his foot on the neck of the devil and took the keys of death away from him, rose on the third day, even in death. He come out in triumph, said, Satan ain't got nothing on him." You say, "Oh, Brother Nathan, the devil sure beat me up this week, and he's been lying to me and telling me I'm lost and telling me I'm not predestinated and telling me I've sinned away my day of grace and telling me I did this and I did that." Oh, Satan ain't got nothing on him. The problem is many times we're listening to the wrong voices. We're listening. We're looking in the wrong dimension. We're looking to the things of the flesh and the things of memory and imagination and all that. Look a little higher and recognize Satan ain't got nothing on him. He said, "Oh, he's mighty in battle." Trial 1964, he says, now no matter what happens, there might be something happen just in a minute. There's a critic sitting here, and I'm just thinking something is fixing to happen, see? So just be real reverent. If anything gets disturbed, you just sit still. You sit real still, let that person do what they're going to do. Watch what happens. Let them make the move and see what happens. You'll see whether he is God or not. You ought to see him in battle. You've seen him in healing. Watch him in battle. Amen. Satan is trying his best to do it, but just let him do it once. See what happens. Oh, my. You say, "Brother Nathan, can you imagine what it had been like to be sitting there?" Well, I can't completely imagine it, but I know Brother Sievert said that his dad was sitting there when that man stood up and came down and went through the prayer line there, and they had been a waterhead baby there, healed the night before. And Brother Branham had him come back with the measuring tape there and show it that night to see how much the head had gone down. And said this man came through the prayer line and he had all these things written on his prayer card. Brother Branham said, "Sir, there's nothing wrong with you." He said, Oh, okay, I see what it is. Brother Branham said he felt something odd. He said, "Sir, there's nothing wrong with you." He said, "Oh, look at my prayer card. Look at my prayer card." He said, "I don't care what's on your prayer card, sir." He said, "There's nothing wrong with you. Maybe the Lord healed you before you got in the line." He began to cause a disturbance. And Brother Branham said he looked back there and he said, "Oh, I saw what it is." He said, "You agreed with that lady in the checkered skirt up there and this other man that you were going to come together and agree together to try to challenge the Spirit of God." And he said, "Because of that, now you've got everything that was on the prayer card." And they carried him out. You don't play church. You don't play with God. You don't play around with these things. We're not here to play church. God's mighty in battle. Brother Branham said he went down to the meeting that night when those little girls were so upset. And he said, "Well, somebody said that they was going to expose me tonight. The FBI." He said, "I'm just going to wait here at the platform if the FBI agents would come on down." He said, "I waited a little bit. I looked around." He said, "I thought, wonder what it is." And he said, "Oh, I see what it is." He said, "It's those two backslidden preachers up there in the balcony." The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And he began to call it out. And then instead of him being exposed, it was them that was exposed. Yes. Something about it, the Spirit of the Lord, he's mighty in battle. You say, "Brother Nathan, you ever worry? You ever think about what if somebody rises up in the service? Or what if somebody run the back door with a gun? Or what if somebody do this or do that?" Oh, he's mighty in battle. Yes, he is. You know, in the book of Acts, there was a couple that tried that. You know, they came in and tried to deceive the Holy Spirit. And Paul said, "Why?" Or Peter, rather. He said, "Why would you try to deceive the Holy Spirit?" And they packed the husband out, and then here came the wife and tells the same lie, and they packed her out. And Brother Branham says many times, he said, "The day of Ananias and Sapphira are returning to the church." Right. Amen. So I don't worry too much. I don't worry too much. He's mighty in battle. I don't claim to have everything under control, but I know he has everything under control. Amen. I don't go out, you know, I've heard even some message preachers come out and try to impersonate Brother Benham's gift and say, I take every spirit under my control and things like that. I don't try to do that, but I do recognize that there is one here who has every spirit under his control. And so I'm trusting in him. Whatever the situation, whatever the service, whatever's going wrong, whatever's going right, whatever the trial, whatever's ups or downs or whatever, he's got every spirit under his control, and I'm trusting in him. Psalm 27, verse 1, if the musicians would come tonight. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. In what? In the peace that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Amen. Are you resting in him tonight? Amen. Maybe you're facing things tonight that you recognize, just like the children of Israel, whether they were coming out of Egypt, whether they were fighting the Midianites or the Moabites or the Amalekites or the Philistines or whoever it was, they would get in situations and they recognized they were outnumbered. Their military tactics were outmaneuvered, all these different things. But then God would come on the scene and do something supernatural and bring them out with a mighty, strong hand. I hope you recognize tonight there's things in our lives that we don't have control over. There's things in our life. Oh, we try to, you know, a lot of us, we live in a world that we have a false sense of security and a false sense of, I'm going to use it for a little bit, brother, if you want to go ahead, sorry. A false sense of all these different things that, oh, well, I'll take care of this and I'll take care of that and I'm in control of this and I'm in control of that. But when it comes right down to it, I'm depending on him for every breath that I take. I'm depending on him for the health of my children. I'm depending on him for their salvation. I'm depending on him for the future of this church. I'm depending on him for my family. I'm depending on him completely. I'm not depending on the economy. I'm not depending on this group of, I'm not depending on the Republicans or the Democrats or this one or that one. I'm depending solely on him. Hallelujah. Our hopes are built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No matter what else comes or goes, if we can have confidence in him that he's got it under control. Situations that we cannot control. Situations that we cannot just go and bully our way through, whatever it would be. He's got it under control. If we can rest tonight knowing that he's the one that can fight our battles. Amen. He's the one that can take complete control. Whatever you're going through tonight, just try handing it to him for a while. Say, Lord, I fought this addiction for 27 years. I fought this temper. I fought this stubbornness. I fought this scar, emotional scar, or whatever it is. I fought this characteristic that I inherited from my grandparents or whatever it would be. Whatever it is that you're struggling with. Maybe a family situation. Maybe a financial situation. You've butted your head against the wall and you've tried every way around it. And you've tried changing jobs. And you've tried taking out loans. And you've tried investing here. And it just seems like everything goes wrong. Give it to him. Amen. Give the situation to him tonight. Give him the battle and see what he'll do. Amen. He's mighty in battle. Amen. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. Some trust in 401ks. Some trust in candidates. Some trust in groups and countries and states and leaders and personalities and doctrines and things. But we're trusting and resting tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm reminded of Peter. Lord, when the 70 had walked away and left you had made too many harsh doctrinal statements and they just couldn't handle it. They couldn't understand it. They didn't have a revelation. And you looked around at the disciples and you said, well, will you go too? Maybe just a few weeks before, there had been multitudes that were following after the loaves and the fishes and the supernatural. But now as you began to enter into your ministry and you began to call the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees hypocrites and all these things, and the crowd began to dwindle down smaller and smaller and smaller, you turned around to the disciples and you said, well, would you go too? Peter spoke those memorable words and said, Lord, to whom would we go? Lord, that's how I feel tonight. Lord, when we're up against a battle, when we're facing trials, when we're facing temptations, when we're facing confusion and the darkness of this age and oppression and spirits and spiritual wickedness in high places and all these things that the apostle taught us about, that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood in this age, but we're wrestling a spiritual battle. Brother Bram said it was the greatest battle that was ever fought. Lord, help us to recognize tonight, where else could we go? Lord, what address could we send somebody to? What personality, what doctrine, what group, what society, what creed, what dogma, what could we send somebody to, Lord, except to you? Lord, except in your name, there's no other name under heaven by which men should be saved. Lord, I'm not depending on somebody else's opinion or idea of me or of the word or whatever it would be. Lord, I recognize tonight that it's only you, that salvation lies in you. It doesn't lie in Church of the Open Door. It doesn't lie in some other country or some political organization, whatever it would be. Lord, salvation rests completely and solely in you. Healing. Lord, we don't have the power to heal. Oh, we have authority by the word, but we don't have power to heal. Healing lays in you alone, Father. Lord, for all of our needs, for all of our trials, for everything that we're facing, Lord, we recognize, like Peter did, we're inadequate. There's nobody, there's no school of theology we could send somebody to. There's no geographic location. There's no spiritual wise person that we could send somebody to answer all their questions, Lord, but we're depending solely on you, Lord. To whom else could we go? Where could we go, Father, but to you? So tonight, we bring our trials and we bring our tribulations. We bring our temptations. We bring family problems and physical problems. We bring oppression and fear and depression and spiritual problems and anxiety and addictions and anything that these people sitting here tonight are facing, Lord. We bring it all, Lord, and we come to you, Lord, for the answer. To whom else could we go? Lord, we don't go to the psychologist or the psychiatrist and try to let them psychoanalyze us, Father, but we come to your feet tonight. And we lay these things at your feet and we say, Lord, we need you to fight our battles. We need you to take control. Lord, so many times we fight at the air and we try to do it all on our own. We try to figure it out and we try to have quote wars and scripture wars and debates and see who's the smartest intellectually. Father, help us to recognize there's no salvation in all of that, but our salvation rests in you. That we can just sit back and rest and recognize, Lord, whether anybody else believes it or not, whether anybody else agrees or not, we're depending on you tonight. We're depending on your word. Not just our favorite quote, not just our favorite scripture, not our pet doctrine, not just from what our background, Methodist or Pentecostal or some message church or whatever it was. We're not depending on that, Lord. We're depending on you and your word. And we recognize that your promises are true. And no matter what Satan says and tries to lie, Lord, we lay these things at your feet tonight. We accept by faith that the battle is yours, that we don't have to fight at it anymore, that you've got control of this situation. You've got control of our lives. You're the one that can come on the scene and take every spirit under your control. You're the one that calms the winds and the waves, whether they're physical or spiritual or mental, whatever they are, whether they're emotional. Lord, you're still calming the winds and the waves. The same one that said, peace be still, to the physical storm back there on the Sea of Galilee can say, peace be still in the lives of troubled people tonight, Father. Help us, Lord. We all have needs. We all have, Lord, problems that we're facing, but Lord, we bring them and we lay them at your feet. We recognize we're inadequate in ourselves, Lord, but we accept your word. The battle is yours. It's not by sword. It's not by gun. It's not by rolling up our sleeves and beating sense into somebody. The battle is yours. You're going to go before us. You'll send your fear before us. You'll send your angels before us. You'll send peace before us. Lord, we can just rest in your word and claim it as a promise. We love you tonight, Jesus. Help us to rest in your word, I pray. Jesus Christ's name. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Tonight, can you accept it by faith? He's got it all. Oh, we worship you, Father. He's got it all in control. Oh, he put that reassurance, put it way down in my soul. He's got Let's sing this tonight. You help me. If you don't know it, the words are going to be up here. We're going to try to maybe learn a couple new songs tonight. Amen. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory
name it is.
What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, oh, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name. Oh, what a beautiful name. Oh, what a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name. Oh, just worship Him tonight. He's worthy of your praise. Oh, what a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. Oh, we worship You, Lord. Let's try this verse again. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, You brought heaven down. My sin was great, Your love was greater, so what could separate us now? What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful Him tonight. Oh, what a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. Healing is here. Healing is here. Oh, healing is here.
And I receive. Whatever type of healing you need.
Oh, healing is here. Healing is here. And I believe it. Oh, I reach my. Lift my eyes. just can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. Oh, you are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. Let's sing it again. Oh, sickness can't stay any longer. Oh, Lord, your perfect love is casting out fear. And can't stay any longer. Oh, accept it tonight, for his perfect love is casting out all our fear. Oh, and he is the God of all power. Oh, and it is his will that my life is healed. Who, devil? Oh, sickness can't stay. Been bound by the enemy, maybe by sickness. Oh, but freedom is here. Maybe you've been bound by temptations and addictions. Oh, but freedom is here. Oh, Lord, I receive it. Oh, yes, my freedom. Make it personal tonight. My freedom is here. Is here right now, right in this moment, when his Holy Spirit's quickening to you. Freedom is here. Oh, and I believe it. Oh, I reach my hands to the heavens. Your perfect love is casting out all my fear. And you are the God of all power. And it is your will that my life is healed. I reach my hands to the heavens. Lift my eyes where my look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Oh, healing is here. We believe it tonight, Father. my healing is here. Oh, healing is here. And I receive it. Oh, healing is here. Healing is here.
Amen. I love when the Lord works on both ends of the line. Amen. Why don't you be seated for a moment? I don't know if you know this one well enough to sing it with Brother Furman or not, so I'm not going to keep you standing. I know it's a little later than normal tonight, but we'll try to dismiss you soon. I had this song in my heart, and I thought about texting before service and saying, could you sing that song? And I didn't, and I asked him if he had the words, and he said, yeah, he'd already brought them up. So the Lord working on both ends of the line. So let's sing this song tonight. Give Him the Battle. I think it's very appropriate tonight.
So you know you help me out.
Give Him the battle and stand still. Behold the Master work His will at His command. All our foes lay at our feet. And all the evil is dispelled. And once again, our Lord prevails. Give Him the battle. He'll give to you the victory. Lift up your head. Don't be alarmed. You're not alone. You'll not be harmed. Our Lord has given angels charge. If you're outnumbered, child, don't fret. Our God has never failed one yet. Give Him the battle. He'll give to you the victory.
You believe that tonight? Thank you, Lord.
Give Him the battle and stand still. Behold my so long, and Satan tries to steal your song. A cloud of doubt sweeps low, and fate is all you see. But if by faith you'll look beyond, you'll see my Savior standing strong there in His hand. Give Him the battle. He'll give.
Give him the battle and stand still. Behold my master work his will. At his command, all our foes lay at our feet. The evil is dispelled, and once again our Lord prevails. Give him the battle, he'll give to you the victory. All the evil is dispelled. Why don't we stand and sing this before we go? Oh, I'm on the battlefield. It's for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield. It's for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I would serve.
My Lord,
oh yes, I'm on.
heads once more. Give him thanks and praise. Lord, what a powerful message you brought before us tonight, God. Lord, how I know it touched my heart, Lord. It just moved upon me, Lord God. It came in a needful time, Lord God. We're just so thankful for Brother Nathan just yielding himself to bring forth such a message, God. Let us go strengthened and encouraged, Lord, and just ready to carry on the battle for you, Lord God. We just thank you now, Lord, as we go, God. Go with us, Lord. May your spirit just travel with us, each and every one, a little lick of fire, God. Bring it into our homes, Lord, our places of work, Lord, wherever we might go and travel, God. I just pray now, Lord, that you'd go with us, Lord, in your strength and power. We pray it all in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
God bless you, saints. You can be dismissed. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Let's sing that as we go.
Oh, I'm on the battlefield.